Some of you may have never heard our statement of purpose of McGonigal Baptist Academy. How many have never heard the statement of purpose?
Yeah, there's some. Maybe not too many. It sounds like most of you probably heard it.
But I'm going to read that tonight, the statement of purpose. McGonigal Baptist Academy is designed to train Christian young people to become true disciples of Christ and to prepare them for full-time service for Him. It is a place for young people and their parents who want a training institution that is a reinforcement of the biblical beliefs and practices of both McGonigal Baptist Church and their home. This school is committed to taking the high road in the Christian walk and to training soldiers for Christ in these last days of apostasy and compromise. This school will, at times, be a challenge to young people and their parents, and that it will propel them both to a higher level of commitment to Christ and to a greater obedience to God's word. The overriding purpose, however, is to maintain a consistency between church, school, home, and the Bible. That working together of all facets of life will be the key for young people to gladly give their lives for Christ. This is not a private school that is in competition with all the programs of the public schools, nor is it a Christian school that has its main goal education in a Christian atmosphere. Rather, this school has been established as a Christian school, and that its goals, purposes, and programs are all focused to train young people to glorify God with and gladly serve Christ in every area of their lives. This must likewise be the goal of parents for both themselves and their children.
So that is the statement of purpose of why we are in existence here at McGonigal Baptist Academy. You know, what is a philosophy? When Brother McLean from New Zealand was here, he gave a whole Sunday school class to the high school, junior high and high school guys, and he was talking about philosophy. And he gave a definition, and I think I pretty much have it, but it was, and it pretty much stuck in my mind. He had us write it down. I think they had to, you know, he wrote it on the board. He had everyone write it down. He said it's a system of values and beliefs that guides your every action. Let me say that again. A system of values and beliefs that guides, I read it wrong because I have correct English here. It should be guides because its system is the subject. Just a second. Let me read it again. A system of values and beliefs that guides your every action. You know, what is your philosophy of education tonight? You know, what is that system of values and beliefs that guides your action? You know, what system do you have in place? You know, some people in the world don't even think about it. You know, their kids just maybe go to school, and whatever school is there in town, you know, that's where they send them. You know, and as Christians tonight, do you have that philosophy that is going to be the thing that guides your actions regarding your children's education? Tonight we'd like to look at maybe just some principles of education that we find in the Word of God. And first of all, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 30. You may have never thought of this passage before in the sense of education, but Isaiah chapter 30, and we'd like to look at the encouragement, first of all, for education. The encouragement for education. It says here in Isaiah chapter 30 in verse number 20, it says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction," you know, the children of Israel had fallen into sin, and there was going to be judgment that was going to take place because of it, but God someday is going to bless them. And notice the environment that is the environment of blessing for the children of Israel. It says, "And the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. When Israel fell into apostasy, what was one of the things that they wanted to do? Well, they wanted to put down the voices of those that would sound the alarm of where they were. But in the day of God's blessing, it would be an environment in which they would be taught the correct way. You know, education, the correct kind of education, can be a great help to your young people. Notice in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 13. Proverbs 5 and verse 13. Notice what has taken place in the life of a young man who has not followed the instructions of his teachers and what has taken place. The right kind of education can be a great help to young people. It says in, let's begin in verse number 11. It says, "And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." Notice the plural there. Have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Here we have an encouragement for the right kind of instruction, the encouragement for the right kind of education. When Israel, their teachers are present, the right ones, and are leading them in the right direction, it is the right kind of environment for them. We have an encouragement for education. Notice in verse 21 of Isaiah 30, well, verse 20, we see the presence. It says, "But thine eyes shall see thy teachers." They are not going to be removed, it says, into a corner anymore. The idea of corner there, I believe, is almost the idea of a wing. They're not going to be hidden, or they're not going to be taken in flight from them. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." You know, the Lord does not want us to be wondering, so to speak, what direction we should be taking in our lives. He says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." You know, the Word of God says, you know, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, education is not to be something where young people are presented with three choices. Here's A, here's B, and here's C. You know, make your choice of what you think is going to be best for you. You know, that is a dangerous form of education. You know, education is not necessarily a choice, but it is when somebody gains the thinking which they understand that there is a clear pathway to follow. You know, there is an environment that is conducive to the right education. In Proverbs chapter 10, go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Find the environment here of education. You know, the Word of God shows us education is not just supposed to take place in any atmosphere out there. You know, what's one of the great problems with the public school system of our day? Well, it's the wrong environment for real education, real biblical education to take place. And you say, how can that be? I mean, there's been plenty of people that have come through the public school system. Well, you know, God is gracious. You know, and we find that Joseph went down into Egypt. And you know, he was forced to go down there. You know, and God was gracious and God enabled him to be able to stand in spite of the environment that he was in. But you know what? Did Joseph, was it his choice to go down to Egypt? No, it was not. You know, I think there's a difference when there is a choice involved and when there is not a choice involved. But here, notice the environment for education here. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now, what does it say in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7? It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." What is the environment for the right kind of education? Well, it is the fear of the Lord. It is a reverence for the God of heaven. It is a proper understanding of who God is and His greatness that shapes the way things are presented. The fear of the Lord. You know, what is missing in much of our education system today? Well, it's the right environment for education. There is no fear of God. You know, we wonder why our political system is such a mess. We wonder why the crime is where it is today. Well, what's missing in our school system? The fear of God. You know, what's missing in, unfortunately, many Christian schools today? You know, it's the fear of God. And there is an environment for Christian education, for any kind of education, real education, and that is the fear of God. And when that reverential awe of God is missing from an education, according to the Bible, it is not an education. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the fountainhead. It's the starting point. It is where real knowledge, where real understanding comes from. It can only come from God. And you know, hopefully in this Christian school, we are creating an atmosphere, an environment in which the fear of the Lord can be nurtured in the lives of these young people. You know, having teachers that fear God, having an environment in which sin is looked down upon. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to what? Is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the forward mouth. You know, do we hate those things? Do we understand the importance of the right environment? But, you know, there is also a personal, really, commitment that is involved in this environment. You know, it's really interesting in Psalm 119, you know, you can have a great environment for a Christian school, but if there is no personal commitment to it, in Psalm 119, notice the personal connection here of the psalmist to the Word of God. You know, in some ways, obviously, well, let's read the verse. Psalm 119, verse 99. It says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." You know, we heard of Mr. Raines gave the testimony tonight about meditating on the Word of God. You know, when that Word of God is taken, and there is in that environment of the fear of the Lord, and it is personalized through meditation, that is when it becomes truly profitable to a young person's life. You know, young person, just because you go to a great Christian school does not mean that you are going to turn out for God. If there is not a personal commitment on your end to take that Word of God, to meditate upon it, what does meditation produce? Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou what? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." You know, if you just sit in the classroom and you just take what you're learning, but there is no personal meditation of what is being said, you are not going to gain the benefit that God intended for you to have. That must become a part of you through meditation. So the importance of the right environment. You know, in the Word of God, we have examples in education. And I think, and obviously this is from a spiritual standpoint, but I think it comes from a physical standpoint as well, is the examples in education. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice one of the ways that the Apostle Paul educated the believers that he was ministering to. And now you think of, you know, what kind of examples do I want my children to be in front of? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, what did he say to them? He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." You know, we know the old saying, you know, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. No, we know it, but how often do people apply it to education? You know, how often do they say, okay, do I want my young person like that teacher? Well, if you do, then put them in front of that teacher. If you don't put them in front of that teacher. You know, some people might go to a college and they think, well, you know, I can handle it. You know, but look at the example that's put in front of them. You know, young people, you can be thankful for the examples that you have. And obviously, Paul said, even as I also am of Christ. Was Paul perfect? No, he wasn't. You know, but he set forth an example. And it is so important that each one of us as teachers set the right example in education. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reiterates the same message. But notice really from another aspect, from the other end, where they became followers of him. Let's begin in verse 5. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia." What was one of the chief instruments that the Lord used in the life of the Thessalonian believers to encourage them to grow? Well, it was the example of the Apostle Paul. And not just of him, but of his helpers, because it's in the plural. Ye became followers of us. You know, one of the great things of education can be the examples that are put in front of your young people. It also can be a great negative if the wrong examples are put in front of your young people. So we find there is an encouragement. There is an environment that is vital to true education, the fear of the Lord, a proper understanding, a reverential awe of who God is. And when that is lacking, there cannot be real education. We find there is a personal commitment that must take place in the life of the learner. We find there is an example that takes place in education, the power of the example that is placed in front of a young person. But then I'd like to look at errors of education. You know, there can be errors in education. And I'd like to look at in 1 Peter chapter 2. And this is in a church, or 2 Peter chapter 2. This is in a church setting here. But notice it ties chapter 2 in with chapter 1. As it talks about the prophecy that came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people." All right, so there were men of God in the Old Testament speaking the truth. All right, but there were also false prophets among the people. And then he says, with them, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So it's interesting how it shifts from prophets to teachers. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily or privately, secretly here, shall bring in damnable or destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious. Again, it's the same word for, I believe, damnable in the previous word, verse, which means destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. All right, so we find here there can be errors in education. There can be teachers with what? With a false identity. Okay, they are pseudo teachers. They are false teachers. You know, they don't want you to know who they really are. You know, there is a secret message who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. You know, it's a message that is not obvious to the hearers. The destructive influence of the message that is being presented is not obvious to those that are hearing it. You know, that is why it is so important to be educated in the right atmosphere, because many times when you are educated in the wrong place, you don't even know the destructive forces that are being brought upon you. And they are, the apostle here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is warning the believers. And it's such an important warning for us to heed in our lives. It's so important for parents to understand the destructive influence of these pseudo-teachers, of these false teachers that can influence, very easily influence, not only the lives of young people, but also the lives of parents. So there is a secret message. Notice verse 3, it says, and through covetousness shall they with what? With feigned words make merchandise of you. There is a selfish motivation. A selfish motivation. Notice that. With feigned words make merchandise of you. You know, they're out there for what? For themselves. You know, we saw in Wisconsin, you know, this last year, and all the huge uproar that went into, you know, the salary and the whole controversy, you know, and the bargaining rights and all these different things. And, you know, you wonder if any of these people had any idea what maybe the teachers were making in this school. You know, and how foolish really they are to be complaining about what they're getting. And, you know, you really look at the system sometimes, you wonder, okay, how many of these people are really in it for... Now, obviously, I'm not saying there aren't any. There are obviously good teachers out there that are, you know, trying to help students. But you wonder sometimes how many are out there for themselves. You know, and they use, we know there's politicians out there using education, so to speak, for their own plate. And it says, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They're out to use you. Positively, the right kind of education takes place in an environment of what? The opposite. Self-sacrifice. Giving of yourself. Rather than being in it for yourself. But we find the error of education is when it is a selfish motivation. They may have great words, but they are in it for themselves. You know, we think of Lot and how he chose. He had the personal choice. And what did he do? He chose to pitch his tent toward Sodom. And here in 2 Peter chapter 2, it talks about how his soul was vexed. It was tortured from day to day with seeing and hearing the deeds, the unlawful deeds that were going on in the city of Sodom. And what was taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, what happened to Lot because of that? Well, he lost his family, didn't he? You know, his wife and his two daughters came with him. His wife turned back, turned into a pillar of salt. then we see the terrible sin that took place with his daughters. You know, you wonder if Lot could go back and make his decision all over again, what decision would he have made? Well, I think the answer is obvious. You know, there are errors of education and there are consequences for those errors when the wrong choice is made. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, well, let's begin in verse number 7. Colossians 2, verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in Him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, it's not just a little bit in your life. It says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then it says, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And what kind is it? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The Bible says, beware. You know, I'm sure all of you, you're out and you see a sign that says, beware of, you know, the dog. You know, you've probably been out soul winning and seen those signs. Maybe you hear the bark before you see the sign. And then you see the sign, you're like, watch out. You know, maybe some of you have no fear of dogs, but, you know, I still get a little bit tentative when I sometimes see some of those dogs that people have. And the Bible says, beware. Exercise great caution. Be aware of the danger. It says, philosophy and vain deceit. You know, what is one of Satan's chief tactics? Well, we, you know, in the message this morning, is the, Dad talked about how the Jews, you know, they were of their father. The Christ said they were of their father, the devil. And what was he the father of? Well, he is the father of all lies. And what is one of Satan's chief tactics? Well, it is deceit. And what do young people need to be in, raised in an environment of truth? You know, where all aspects, the truth is taught. No matter what subject it is. And people, young people understand there is a black. And there is a white. There is a right. And there is a wrong. And choices in life have consequences. And God is honored and glorified when we choose to follow Him, when we choose to give our lives to live for Him. You know, tonight, do we understand the importance of the right kind of education? You know, there are errors of education, and they are very destructive. They will destroy our family. They will destroy the great precious gift that the Lord has given to us in our children. And the right kind of education is what God wants us to give our children. Let's pray.